Morning. All right. It is a good morning, isn't it? Well, we just, the leadership of the church just got back from an advance. We call it not a retreat, but an advance. And we were at a camp up in Bell Fountain, and just kind of hanging out and building relationships and trying to strengthen the infrastructure of the church, because when you have a vision, you're going to have to be strong relationally, and the leadership in the church is going to have to be strong, because anytime you're doing something for God, you're going to be hammered. And when you get a vision, everything is going to come out of the woodwork. So we were strategizing and praying and seeking God and, you know, listening to some word and feeding each other, and we also were having fun. That's important, to have fun, isn't it? Friday night we did this thing, Chubby Bunny. You ever heard of that? How many of you heard of Chubby Bunny? You haven't heard of Chubby Bunny? You guys need to get with it. No. But we built this campfire, and it's in a beautiful setting. This lake, night, really nice large lake in this woods, and just kind of set on a little bit of a hillside and this campfire, and we're all just sitting there, and so they get this idea we're going to do Chubby Bunny. So Chubby Bunny is you put marshmallows in your mouth, as many as you can get in your mouth, and then you have to say Chubby Bunny. Well, Paula was the winner. She got a dozen those big old marshmallows up in her mouth. I mean, she was packing them in like the dentist, you know. Just, I mean, they were everywhere. And I'm telling you, if you're there, it's funny. I only got seven in mine, and you have to say Chubby Bunny. You know, it's just kind of wild. But last week I picked up my granddaughter after church, and we went to see my mom. And my mom stays at Bethany Village in Centerville. And my mom just loves it when we come to see her, because she just loves that granddaughter, you know. And so when we left, we always go stop and eat. And so I had her with me, and we were in McDonald's. And we're sitting there eating and talking. And it's funny, because I had that pink shirt on last week. And Zeta goes, "Papa, I like that pink shirt." I said, "That's all that matters, Zeta. I don't care what anybody else, if nobody else does, that's all that matters." That's what I said to her. And then this song came on over the radio, and it was a Rod Stewart song. And I looked over at her, and she's just, all of a sudden, she's getting into it, you know. I said, "Zeta, you got rhythm." And then she stands up, and she starts backing it up, you know. And then I stood up, and I started getting into it. And then they turned the music up in McDonald's. We were just having fun. Here's the idea. Folks, we got to really know how to have fun. Are you with me? There is so much negative around us. We got to learn to enjoy life, don't we? And enjoy the moment. The moment, right? I tell you what, I was having me a ball. And I'm picking her up again today. We're going to see what's going to happen today. I love it. All right. What have we been talking about? Prayer and humility. Okay. That's big. What did we talk about last week? We talked about that we have a helper, right? And that's the Parakletos. And he is our helper. He's our helper, our comforter, our standby, our strengthener. So when we take time to pray, it puts us more in touch with the Holy Spirit. And that's in us. That's in us. That's the Holy Spirit is in us. And so when we take time to pray, we are more in touch with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in us. And so we know we have help. And so that's important to understand that, because in the hour that we're living in, if we just look around, we're going to be, you know, we can get worried and anxious. So we got to know that there's what we're looking for is in us, and it's the Holy Spirit, all right? And he has come to help us, to help us to fulfill the plan and purpose God has created us for. And so when we pray, we are in touch with that more. You know what? Even with my granddaughter bumping to a Rod Stewart song, I had peace. I'm telling you, I was in touch with the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? Because I'm going to tell you what, the kingdom of God is, in Romans 14, 17, righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Folks, we are to be people of joy. People of joy. These are the best days to be in right now. It couldn't be better, because we can really offer people the kingdom of God by the way we conduct and live our lives. And we can show it to them. We can have true joy, and it comes from within. And if you're in touch with that, the Holy Spirit, that's what will happen. People will wonder what you are on or what you got, because, folks, you are enjoying life, and you can enjoy life. Jesus didn't come to make us miserable. He came to help us, right? And he said, I've given you another help, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's in us. So that's what prayer does. It puts us in touch with that. Now, we looked at Matthew 24 and all the signs of the times and the crisis. The word famine means economic crisis, and we're in that. But remember, our needs will not be met by the government of the United States. Our needs are going to be met by the kingdom of God. And that's what we have to understand. There's more than enough money in the world. More than enough. It's just in the wrong hands. And when you understand the kingdom of God, we can unlock things where you're going to be provided for. If you get the principles of the kingdom of God in, you're going to be provided for. You're going to be taken care of. Does this make sense? And this is the way it is. And so we have to understand that prayer helps us to unlock that, and that's the whole idea. As it is in heaven, on earth, right? On earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're to do. We're to bring heaven to earth. And we can't do that without prayer. And that's what we're trying to get the churches to provoke each other into prayer and get us moving in prayer. And folks, when we're more in touch with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be judgmental, critical, and condemning towards others, because we know we got our own stuff to deal with, right? And so, and that's the idea too. We're not going to be pointing the finger at other people all the time and looking at other people's faults, fault finding. We're going to, and complaining and murmuring. We're going to be people that, hey, we're going to enjoy life because we're in touch with God. And we're on an assignment. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We're the ecclesia. That's the church. We're the government of God. We are the state representatives. Are you with me? And the cabinet of God, that's what the church is. And we're to establish the government of heaven here on earth. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, what was the key? One of the keys was to be in touch with the Holy Spirit last week, right? Remember, Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, in Matthew 16. I've given you the keys of the kingdom, not to the kingdom, of the kingdom. And so, he's given us the keys of the kingdom. Here's, we got another key today, and that's going to be vision. We're going to talk about vision today. Vision. And we talked about this a little bit on our advance. So, go with me to Philippians chapter 4, and you'll see where we're going here in a moment. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, how many things? By what? But in everything by prayer. Everybody say everything by prayer. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Father, for this place. We thank you for your presence, Father. Father, now we ask for revelation. We ask that you impart revelation, knowledge, and understanding in our hearts today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. You said, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Well, Father, we don't want to be a part of that group. We want to be people that are growing in the knowledge of who you are. So, Lord, we ask that you impart knowledge and truth into our minds and hearts today, that we would never be the same. Lord, continue to show us who we are and who you are. Father, we thank you for that, and we trust you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. Now, he says, be anxious for nothing. What's anxious mean? To be worried, right? So, remember last week we saw there's signs of, you know, wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and we talked about all these wars, and they're all religious wars. And the religious spirit is the most evil spirit on the planet. And churches are full of it. And that's why we want to drive it out. And that's what the kingdom of God does. Those religious spirits can't hang out in the kingdom. The kingdom of God and those spirits don't work. So the idea is we want to not be worried by what we're seeing, right? We don't want to be worried. We don't want to get anxious. Worry is what? It's negative meditation. Negative meditation. So he says, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in everything, by prayer. So there it is. If we're going to God, and we're petitioning God, and our supplication means to cry out. We're crying out to God. You know, we're going to Him. We're dependent on Him. Okay? The Holy Spirit. We're going to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 7 is one of the keys here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. See, that's what happens when you go to God in prayer and you really are talking to Him and you really are petitioning Him and letting Him, giving Him your problems, giving Him your worries. He brings you peace throughout the day. He gives you peace. And the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the what? In the Holy Spirit. See, in the Holy Spirit. So that's what happens. The Holy Spirit is now guarding your mind and your heart from worry and anxiousness and all that. You're dependent on God and His promises, right? A promise is a word spoken in the present for the future. A promise is a word spoken in the present for the future. And that's why when you come here, you're getting a word. And it's being spoken into your heart. And that can become revelation. And that can literally guide your life. So, to let you know that the future is going to be all right if you hold on to that promise. Now think about this. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Okay? Think about this. That's the way we're to live. What you're looking for and your identity and all you are is not ahead of you. It's in you. It's in you. And so we should begin to be aware that we need to live out of this, what's in us. And when we have take time to pray and we walk in humility, it puts us more in touch with what's in us. Now think about this. Verse 8 says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see, that's the way we should live. We should live out of that. There's no negativity in that, is there? That's the way God wants us to live. Think about those things. And that's the kingdom of God. You see that? And that produces peace. And then it says in verse 9, he says, the things which you learned and received as you do that, and all the things that you heard and saw, he says, and the God of peace will be what? With you. You see? The God of peace will be with you. Because this is the way you're living your life. We're living out. See, that's why when we look at negativity and we start judging people and we look around and we just begin to only live by what we see, folks, that will rob you from who you are and what's in you. Corrie Ten Boom was a missionary, and she went through all kinds of hell, and she was in a prison camp, and this is what she said: if you look down, you'll be oppressed. If you look around, you'll be depressed. But if you look up, you will have rest. You will have rest. You'll have peace. If you look down, you'll be oppressed. If you look around, you'll be depressed. But if you look up, you will have rest. And that's the peace that she's talking about. And that's the kingdom of God coming out of you because it's in you. Remember what Jesus said? The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, and it's not over here or over there. It's in you. And that's the way we want to live. We want to live our lives out of what's in us. And when we begin to walk this way, folks, it changes things. But we got to see it. And that's why Jesus said, what? In John chapter 3, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again to what? See the kingdom of God. To see. That's, we're going to talk about vision today. To see the kingdom of God. If you're going to see it, it begins with being born again, right? Now you're in a position to see it. But you have to grow. And if you see it, folks, it will happen. It will happen. Now think about the word see in that verse in John chapter 3 means to understand. To understand. You must be born again to understand the kingdom of God. So that's it. If you see it, you begin to understand. Now think about this. Vision is vital in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:22, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye, and if the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. The lamp of the body is the eye. That word eye means vision. And if your vision is good, your whole body will be full of light. You see that? Light means you can see. You can see. So if the eye is good, the word good means clear and single. So if your vision is clear and single, the whole body will be full of light. In other words, that works as individual and corporately. That's why we have a vision here. That's why we have a vision here. Our vision is to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, what? In the bond of peace. That's the kingdom of God. That's why we have retreat advances where we gather, so we can be relational and so we can pursue the kingdom of God and have peace among us. Because if we have peace and unity among us, the Bible says where there's unity, God commands the blessing. He says, I got to put my blessing there because there's unity in there. And then when people come in, people are blessed by the presence of God because of what the people in are paying the price for. And they're understanding the kingdom. Oh, do you see that? Huh? Come on, can you see it? Oh, folks, that's why we're here. That's why we're on this planet. And when you begin to understand that, everything else pales compared to the kingdom of God and what he's created you for. and it's worth pouring your life into. It's worth investing your life in, and your interest will grow as you pour your life into it. Are you with me? Your interest will increase because you'll know that this is nothing but the truth, and this is why I'm here. Vision is important. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there's no vision, the people do what? They perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. That word perish means lack of discipline and without restraint. Lack of discipline and without restraint. Self-development demands restraint, and self-development demands self-discipline. Everybody say that with me. Self-development demands self-discipline. And that only comes from vision. If you have no vision, you will perish. You will perish. And that means you won't have restraints. You won't have self-discipline. You'll eat anything. You'll go anywhere. You'll be addicted to stuff. You see that? Because vision literally controls your life. You see that? Vision shows you who you are. And it shows you, it gives you purpose and meaning for life. That's why it's so important that you understand, that we understand vision. And the word vision is synonymous with the word revelation. The word revelation means vision. The word revelation means vision. So where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's what mine says in Proverbs 29:18. So the word revelation and the word vision are the same. The word revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. That's what the word revelation means. It also means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So revelation is an uncovering. It's an uncovering. Vision is an uncovering. When you get revelation, it's not new. It's old news to God. But it's new to you. Because something was just uncovered about you. That's why you go, oh, he's talking about me. But really, it's the Word of God being revealed to you. Oh, you know, and you're, something is lifted inside of you. It's like, that's revelation. And that's new to you about you. But God knew it all along. Because he had a plan and purpose for your life. And he's trying to get you to see it. You see that? That's one of his most difficult jobs, is getting you to see it. Oh, listen to this. Vision is foresight added to insight based on hindsight. Vision is foresight added to insight based on hindsight. What's that say? History will repeat itself without a vision. You will be like your parents, like your grandparents. You will be just like them if you don't have a vision. Come on. That's what that's saying. But when you have vision, it brings change. It brings change. You're not going to repeat the history of your life. You're not going to repeat those patterns, those negative patterns that may have been passed on to you, those iniquities, when you have vision. Because vision has the power to get you out of that and get you where you need to go. Am I making sense? And it comes, vision added to insight is based on hindsight. Foresight added to insight is based on hindsight. Now think about this. The ability to see, vision is the ability to see what is not there. When you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Vision is given to a person, but fulfilled by a people, okay? When you have like a vision with Moses, vision was given to Moses, but he had to take it to the people. Vision is given to a person, but fulfilled by a people. Never, you can nowhere in the Bible find where God gave a vision to an entire group. Started with one man. Moses got the vision. What was the vision? God says, I've given you a land with milk and honey. I've given you a land with milk and honey. That was the vision, the promised land. He did all he could do, and he never even ended up in it. But see, vision will carry on even after you're gone. Joshua took the vision. He went and possessed the land, right? See, that's the way it is. If you get connected to a vision, your children are not going to repeat the things you did. They're going to go on, and they're going to become more of what God created them to be. Do you see that? And so, Jesus had a vision. He had 12 disciples, right? And they changed the world. Jesus had a who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, that was his vision. The cross. What was joy in the cross? Because he knew you and I would be sitting here today receiving his revelation. You see that? That was his joy, that we were going to be in the kingdom of God. That we would be a part of the kingdom of God. That was his joy. Paul had a vision. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. To the heavenly vision. What was his heavenly vision? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they would receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me, an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for those who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last days, ready to be revealed through revelation. You see that? That's the way it comes to us, through revelation. We are created to live by revelation. We are created to live by revelation. And Paul had Silas, Paul had Timothy, Paul had Barnabas, and Paul had a band of women to help him fulfill his vision. You see that? Comes with to a man, but it's fulfilled by a group. In the Old Testament, God said, you are my people. You are my people. How's he say it? I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. You see that? He gives it to a man, but it's fulfilled by a people. We need each other. We need each other to fulfill a vision, a God-given vision. All right? Now, think about this. A visual reality of your purpose for existence. Everything was created for purpose. Everything was created for a purpose. All right. The word vision in the Greek is the word optica. Optica. And it means to look. It means coming into view. Coming into view. So when you have vision, it's coming into view. You're really beginning to see it. Now, when God gives revelation, it's never new. We already talked about that. Now, look at this. Revelation is God's word being revealed to us. And in 2 Timothy, it says, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture has been inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that we may be complete, fully equipped, prepared for every good work. So, it's through God's word that we're prepared to do what he's created us to do. And it says it's all scripture has been inspired. The word inspired means breathe in. To breathe in. So God breathes in us. When you come here and you get some word, it's being breathed into you by God. Because it's his word. It's breathed in. And it's like blowing up a balloon. If you blow up a balloon, the balloon is full of what you blew into it. The air, the breath that you blew in, and it brought the shape to the balloon. And that's the way God's word does. It shapes your life. It shapes your life. And if somebody presses it or pops it, what you blew into it will come out on them, right? And that's the way it is. The revelation of God will come out under pressure. And that's because you're inspired. You've been inspired by God. You've been inspired by God. Now look at this. Everything in the balloon is what you blew into it. All right. Now look at this. Think about this. When you have no vision, you keep changing jobs. You're never content. You're always looking around for something else when you have no vision. When you have no vision, a person with vision masters one thing. One thing. Some people with vision, people get tired of people. People get tired of me sometimes because all I want to talk about is the vision. When I wake up in the morning, I think about the vision of this church. When I wake up in the morning and I don't want to go running and I don't feel like it, that vision just pops up in me because it moves me. It will bring discipline to your life. All I think about is this vision. People with vision, people call them narrow-minded. That people say they're narrow. Folks, it's a narrow road. It's a narrow road. You see that? It is a narrow road that we are on. People with vision, you know why? Because they have been inspired by God. There's an inspiration by God, and that's what we need. We want to be inspired by God to fulfill this vision. Now think about this. When purpose is seen, vision is born. When purpose is seen, vision is born. Now think about it. If I have a chicken egg, I should have had me an egg this morning. We got any eggs in the refrigerator for the next service? Oh, okay. A chicken egg, if you have a chicken egg and you look at it, you see an egg, right? But the purpose of that egg is not to be scrambled with some bacon, right? The purpose of that egg is to be a chicken. So when I look at an egg in my mind's eye, I see the chicken. That's vision. That's vision. So when I look at an egg in my mind's eye, I see the chicken. That's vision. You know it's in there, and if you leave it alone and it goes through the time and everything, the chicken will come out. Right? Right conditions are met, everything, the chicken will come out. Do you see the chicken? The chicken egg is pregnant with the chicken. Vision is real because it's in there. You see that? It's in there. Something God has given you birth to do, there's something that God has given you birth to do that's already in you. And you know what? It's to become who you are. What you are really here for. There's no one else on the planet like you. No one. There's no one else on the planet like you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nobody like you. And then look at him again and say, there's nobody like me. It is so important to understand what I'm talking about today, this idea of vision. You talk about a key. Okay. You see your end. That is called, when you begin to see your end, that's vision, that's called purpose. When you see it, that's called vision. See? Right now, I believe I am in my purpose. And I'm seeing it. I'm trying to help you all to see it. You see that? I believe I'm doing what I was birthed to do. And that's the idea. I believe that it's to help us all see it. Is this making sense? Okay. The things God has been saying about you, people around you attack it. The things that God has been saying about you, people around you attack it. When you really get serious with God's word, people are going to attack it. People will come at it. Your vision will be tested. Sometimes people will think you're loco when you have a vision because you're different. It distinguishes you. You're different. You know what? Some people, they tell you, you're a cat when you're a chicken. I'm just using this as an analogy. Do you see this? If you hang around the wrong people, they're going to tell you something else. And that's what you'll become. You'll end up not becoming what you were really created to be. Do you see that? How many times have people, you know, somebody has said you'll never amount to anything? You know, you're going to be a drunk like your father. Or you're going to be addicted like the rest of your family. Or you're going to look, you know, you're just doing just what they did. See? That's speaking something on you that is not real. That's like saying eggs were created to be scrambled with bacon, right? The egg is for the purpose of the chicken. Your life has a purpose. They don't see it, but you can see it. God created you to see it. But you have to get revelation from God. It only comes from revelation from God from within. It's in you. Come on, it's in you. Do you see that? But you got to be around the right people. That's why it's so important to be connected to the body of Christ and in the right place where there's vision. Am I making sense? Oh, come on. Is this making sense? I tell you what, this gets my motor going. Because, folks, if you see it, man, it changes things. It changes things all around. It has the power to change things. Now, think about this. True vision is to fulfill God's purpose on earth, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. If you have a vision to build a house, a big house, and that's your vision in life, that's called a concoction. That's nothing but a concoction. If you have a vision to become a doctor and be wealthy and you just want to have a lot of money and do those, then that's a concoction. If it's not advancing God's kingdom, it's nothing but a concoction. You have missed why you are on this planet. True vision is designed to reflect God's will on earth. Vision is God's idea. God will always give you something you can't do on your own. God will always give you something you can't do on your own. There's no such thing as a self-made man. There's no. You ever hear people say, well, he's a self-made millionaire? Uh-uh. No. That's not true. Vision brings discipline. Without restraint, without self-control, you will have no, without vision, you will have no discipline and no self-control. Now, all right. If you don't know where you are going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Your vision will dictate your life to you. You see that? Your vision will dictate your life. It will dictate the people you hang around with. It will dictate the shows and the movies you go to. When you have vision, it comes from within, and it begins to guard your mind and your heart through Christ. Because you are now operating and living out of the kingdom of God. Now think about this. Vision simplifies your life. When you know what you are supposed to do, you know what not to do. When you know what you're supposed to do, you know what not to do. You haven't been born to do everything. Go with me to Luke chapter 10 real quick. You have not been born to do everything. We're going to go here and then we're going to close it up here. Let's look at verse 38. Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his what? His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are what? Worried." She doesn't have any peace, does she? She's worried. She's meditating on negative things. She's worried. And what? Troubled. Remember, let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. She's troubled about many things. Verse 42. But one thing is needed. And Mary, Jesus said, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. What was the good part? To sit at Jesus' feet and get his word. You know what? Martha, Jesus never told Martha that it's been, Martha was in the kitchen cooking. Jesus didn't come in and say, "I'm hungry." Right? She was in there busy doing good things, but it really wasn't to meet a real need. We can be doing a lot of good things, but it's really not going to meet any need. And people who are busy, they working busy all the time, they get upset when they see people who look like they're not doing much, but they're accomplishing something. They'll get upset at those people. Sometimes our family will get upset. "Well, what are you going back to church? You got to go to church again? You're going to church again?" They get upset when they see you not doing as much as they're doing, and it's wearing them out. But the one who's not doing it is progressing in life. Does this make sense? That's why you can't do everything. Paul said, "I press on towards the goal." The goal. Not goals, not plural. The goal. "I press on towards the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." All of us have a call of God on our life. And vision is what gets us there. That's what gets us there. And when you have a vision, you're going to be about one thing. You see that? You're going to be mastering one thing in your life. Now think about this. All right. Only what is done for Christ will last. All right, now, vision is the primary motivator. Without vision, no one will accomplish anything. This building, somebody had a vision. Your car that you drove in, somebody had a vision. That shirt you have on, somebody had a vision. Everything is accomplished through vision. Now, I remember reading about these two men that went to Calcutta, India. And India, there's over 1 billion people in India. It's one of it's like the second most populated country in the world. There's over a billion. They went to this Calcutta, India in the 50s on a mission. And two guys in college, and they went to this on this mission, and they're on this train, and they're seeing all these people, you know, and it says they wake up, and their feet are, one guy kept looking at their feet, and flies hanging around their feet, and he said, "All these people, look at them on top of each other. They just wake up and go from place to place, and, you know, they're like they're meandering. They're just people on top of people. Poverty." And he said, look at how nasty their feet are. Well, the other guy sat there, and when they got back, the other guy went to a company that he knew, this guy that had a plastic company, and he drew up a plastic shoe. And he had a prototype, and he brought it to that plastic company, and he said, "Can you make this?" The guy who owned the plastic company made this shoe, and he ended up making 100,000 pairs of these shoes, and they sold them to India. They were made for 20 cents a pair, and they sold them for $1.50 each. And then they sold like a quarter of a million the next year, and then over millions after that. That guy that was sitting with the guy that noticed all of everybody's dirty feet was Tom McKinn. Tom McCann is the one of the leading shoe distributors in the nation. Tom McCann had a vision. The other guy looked at the problem, right? Tom McCann looked and had vision. You see that? That's the way vision works. When you have vision, it brings provision. It brings provision. That's how it works. You know what? I said people with vision, sometimes they don't seem normal. Normal people don't ever accomplish much. You know that? And pessimists have never changed anything significant in the world. You know, a negative person, they don't change much. But something for more of the negative. People who have vision are positive people. Are we going to live out of the kingdom? Folks, see, if you're poor, if you're broke, begin to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Say, I am rich. Say it. That's vision. That's God's promise spoken in the present for the future. See, that's reality. That's called faith. Faith is vision. Faith is vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen with the physical eye. It's evidence, right? That's vision. Oh, are we making sense this morning? Oh, okay. All right, Daryl, we're out of time. We've been out of time, but that's all right. But we're not out of word.